and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew.
Shouldn't you have a Diana throw it?
And that's
Welcome
Diane Farr.
To you,
Loveline. Yeah, sorry. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be sending someone over to the erogenous zone in just about 10 minutes.
She doesn't even know about that.
What
that was before
is that?
Her time.
Oh, really? I don't remember that.
That was before her time.
Well, let's get it straight first. Our favorite of the Loveline ladies is on the show tonight, Diane Farr.
Aw, thank you.
The only one with a lick of talent. She's parlayed her Loveline gig into quite a lucrative career. And from
I was just thinking, people always ask, what happened to Diane? And you know what? We really don't know.
I know what happened to her.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know the gory details.
All right, you mean why wasn't she on the show?
That's a good question.
Well,
you
hold
don't
on.
Know?
I really don't know.
Well, let me get the plugs in for the job first, which airs on Wednesday nights at 9:30 on ABC. That's the show with Dennis Leary and of course Diane Farr, and great reviews. I've heard nothing but great things about this show, and they're starting up a new season. Wait, this weekend? This
tomorrow.
Week? Tomorrow.
Or
what
Wednesday,
day is it?
Depending when you hear this, I guess. Wednesday is 9:30 ABC.
Okay, so, and she's done a bunch of good movies. Now, let's get...
Are there any movies that come out right now?
No, and I've only done medium movies. I haven't done any good ones yet.
Yeah, well, you know.
But they're far away. All right, so the gossip of when I left, it's not really as exciting as you would think. I asked to leave. The last season, I had about 4 test deals, which is, you know, like the television version of a screen test. So they kept releasing me to do it. And then at the end of the year, I sort of had an overall deal offer to develop something. And, suddenly it was a little more trying to let me out. So it took a long time. And
so you really didn't want to leave. You were asking because there was no alternative. They wouldn't let you do what you wanted to do.
Right. They wouldn't let me go. Eventually, strictly out of kindness, they let me go. I was like, look, come on. I've worked for 10 years at this. Would you do this to your kids? Let me go. And they were kind and they let me go. And that was it. Fly be free. And it was like I'd...
Always a good angle with the Jews. Would you do this to your kids? Smart. Great Jew angle there. That doesn't work on the Goyim or the Schwarzes, but the kids, Schwarzes are like, who? Oh, that's right. I forgot I had kids. But the Jews, they're like, Goy.
You've gotten more sacrilegious.
But that's true. That's a good angle.
All right, but wait, I have another ridiculous story. So I'm in New York shooting The Job, and they have to have this model come in. It's like September 22nd in New York. No one will come to New York to play the supermodel on the show. They had everybody on earth lined up to do it. Cancel, 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 cancel. I get this phone call at 11 o'clock the night before I have to shoot with this girl. And they're like, okay, we got someone and we think you know her. We just wanted to check if it's okay. I'm like, why? They're like, it's Catherine McCord.
Oh, you're
from
arch
Loveline.
Nemesis.
Well, not really,
yes.
But people would think so, right?
Oh, the fights that used to break out in the hall over the affections of me and Drew.
Oh, my God.
And how was she?
She's lovely. It's the most time I ever spent with her. But, it's very funny.
When does that air? We know it's on a Wednesday night at 9:30.
It's probably about 6 weeks. Well, wait, then it gets better. I have to set something up for her that she goes away with one of the guys, and I have to say, you know, she kind of looks like that girl, Catherine McCord. You know, the girl from... And I look at Dennis, I'm like, you're going to have me stand there and look at the other character and say, you know, she looks like the girl from Loveline. I'm like... Are you crazy? How are we going to pull this off? He goes, you got to go in there and find out what else she's done. I'm like, if anyone knows her, they're going to know her from this. It's on like 7 days a week. So I go into the trailer and I'm like, isn't it so funny how it's always about Loveline? You know, you could do anything in your life, any job. And they're always like, were you the girl from? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, once in a while I'll get a little like Roswell thing going. And she goes, yeah, sometimes I get the beer commercials. I'm like, I'll be right back. I'm running in my mind. She was in beer commercials. We can talk about that.
Diane Farr on a recon mission for the job. All right, and I don't remember the other girls on that show.
We went through before.
Christine McGaha?
Chris McGaha. But between Chris and Diane, we even had Carmen Electra in there, remember?
We had a whole run of people trying on. They were all temps.
Yeah, yeah.
And you had the comedian, Laura...
Laura Keitlinger.
Yeah, for a while. That's right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Jeez, we did a lot of shows, didn't we?
Holy crap.
Okay. I did 165 of them.
You
did? And that's only two seasons.
You did two seasons?
Yeah.
I thought you did half a season.
No.
Really? Two?
That's because you didn't talk to me for the first one and a half.
Well, he talked to you?
Well, after 100 and something of them.
You didn't talk to anyone on that set.
Let me tell you why. Because
yell at the people about coffee and timing and get it going. Let me out of here.
Let me explain Loveline. It reminded me a lot like NAMM, which is you don't make friends over there because you don't know
who's coming back.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And what happens is you bond, and the next day, the axe drops, and now you're heartbroken. So you can't afford to wear your heart out on a sleeve. You know what I'm saying? That's why I never bonded with Drew.
All right, and for the record, I don't know where you guys are at now because you don't do the TV anymore. We would do four shows on Thursday, four shows on Friday. You'd have five nights a week in here. By Friday afternoon, you two were the biggest pansies, hating each other, so crappy to callers. Couldn't stand you. One of you would take one thing, the other was like, no.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, they're going to kill each other.
No, we're still that way.
We are normally.
We'll see tonight. We'll be mean to people.
Mean to each other.
All right. Mm-hmm.
We actually perfected that now.
Well, let's
that was 2 years ago.
Give her a little demonstration. Yeah, how long ago was that?
That was about 3 years ago, I think.
Holy Christ. And Drew, your career's moved backwards since then.
Yeah. Mars, Venus.
Ooh. Veronica?
Diane was on that show.
Yeah, I've been on all your winners.
Hello?
What else have you been on?
Oh, shush up. Veronica, you're 30. What's up?
What are turds?
I have a younger man.
Woohoo, so do I.
Yay. He is 26. He's not that much younger, but it seems to be a big difference at this age. But my concern right now is his sex drive is absolutely insatiable, which I understand for men is pretty normal.
What does that mean to you?
What does that mean to me? I am very satisfied with the sex that we do have. It is actually very incredible. But he could go 2, 3, 4 times a day and still want more.
Suspicious.
Why?
Suspicious.
Do you think he's addicted to anything else?
At least, yeah.
We have discussed this, and he has said that it is the one way that he feels the closest to me, and in other ways he has problems with intimacy.
Yeah, well, that's described sexual compulsion right there.
Okay.
Well, people that can only achieve intimacy through genital contact.
How is the lovemaking, by the way? I mean, would it be intimate, or would it be rough and degrading, like Drew likes it?
Both.
Here's the comedy, because he's going, it's the only way I feel close with you, and then it's like, fast forward, it's like, taste it, bitch. Yeah. You love it.
I know.
Yeah, let me flog you with my penis.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I feel close.
Yeah, you know that's what he's doing.
Yeah. Right, but here's the deal. Veronica's the perfect foil for that. I mean, it's what she feels intimate with also.
Yeah.
So this is Veronica, this is your idea of intimacy, right?
Well, not necessarily.
All right.
There are different aspects of intimacy. There's rough sex, there's touching, there's holding, there's a whole spectrum, and I'm willing to accept all of that.
You're talking like a robot. Okay?
Well, wait. Do you into like a Wicca or anything?
No.
You wear any black?
Occasionally. Mm. I'm a pretty normal person.
Not into that B&D or any of that.
No.
Stuff?
No, pretty great sex.
All right.
I just wondered how I can. We've discussed it. How can I approach it otherwise?
We're going to. What do you mean approach it otherwise? Approach what otherwise?
Approach what the root of the problem is.
The root of the problem. You see it as a problem now. On one hand, you're telling us that it's glorious, liberating, and just intimacy.
We have wonderful sex, but...
Please, stop with all that ridiculousness. What is the source of the problem here? Why is it unpleasant for you?
Well, he wants it five times a day more than she does.
And okay. Even when he was involved with it, it's not particularly gratifying.
But Veronica?
Yes?
Wouldn't you say the big problem is it's the fact that you think something's up with him, that he needs this or wants this so much.
And he's never satisfied. That's not normal.
Yeah, so you think you got a lemon.
Not necessarily.
You got a weirdo.
Well, she got an alcoholic addict just like Dad.
So what's he into?
That's what she got here.
Let's talk. Hey, Veronica, have you been through therapy?
Yes.
You've done some talking to somebody.
Yes.
I definitely got that, but why? What happened?
Okay. This brings up my next, I had a comment for you. I had a child when I, when I was very young, and everything worked out just fine. I have been through therapy, and I'm still going through
therapy. But what was the cause of the therapy?
What was the cause of the therapy? Having a child at 14.
Hmm. Was there any, how was your dad?
Dad was there. That both parents were there, very present, very supportive.
Did we press charges against the person you had sex with, or were they underage as well?
They were underage as well.
Did you raise the child?
Brother.
Yes.
And where... Okay, hold on a second. We got to have a conference.
Yeah. Oh, I missed the conference.
Get a hand in. Get a hand in. There's something missing here. There's a control here.
Well, she's like,
and there's a knowledge
robot.
Here.
It's all this cerebral nonsense and no connection with anything emotional.
Well,
at all.
I'm with her, but I think there was a little more there than the child at 14.
Oh yeah.
Well, or the fact that no one was paying attention, that she's having enough sex to get pregnant at 13.
There's more.
All right.
And how do we have that much time to have sex 2 to 4 times a day?
I don't know. Veronica?
Yes.
What are we missing, though? Is there, what's the worst thing that happened to you growing up? Was your dad an alcoholic?
No, he wasn't. My grandfather was, but he wasn't He wasn't in the household.
No? Didn't do any molesting or anything?
No.
Whose father was he?
My father's father.
When did you lose your virginity?
When I was 13.
And nothing bad. What are you leaving out here?
I don't think I'm leaving anything.
What are you working on in therapy? What kind of stuff? What kind of feelings are you dredging up?
Anger at family.
Yeah. What are you for?
From what Diane said, not being present, not being around.
Where were they?
Both working full time. And no one to talk to. And siblings, crazy siblings. And
what did they do to you?
Nothing. I have a sister who's very close to my age, and we used to beat each other up, and I don't think that that's out of the ordinary from what I've gathered from other people.
For the record, not ordinary.
No, it's not too bad.
Beat each other up? Listen,
all right, we gotta go. Veronica, here's the problem. You, every question when we ask the question, everything's great.
Mm-hmm.
You once in a while make a proclamation about how effed up things were, but then whenever we come back and ask a question, everything was fine.
Yeah.
Nothing was out of the ordinary, but you're in therapy. Everything's great with the family, but you're very angry at them. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I understand completely, but I think what you were talking about when I said everything was great, the sex that we did have, or we do have, is wonderful.
Okay.
But the amount.
All right, well, just tell him you're good for once a day, and that's it, and see what he does.
Okay.
I mean, what else can you do?
You got a sexual compulsive on your hands.
Yeah, the guy's got problems, and I think you may be aware of that. But why don't
And then what's going to happen? He's going to get off an internet porn. You're going to blame yourself for not having more sex with him. This is a classic pattern.
So what is the cause? What is the
most common cause is being an addict. With some history of sexual abuse or trauma in childhood. That would be the recipe for sexual compulsivity.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. That's the most animated she was.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. There was some feeling all of a sudden.
Thank you.
Yeah. Affect. Oh, my God.
Now I miss her.
I want to know that person.
I can't wait to get her off the line, but now I miss her. Oh, boy.
All right. Keep
moving. Something cooking.
Yep.
Jennifer?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I got a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
And, okay. I went to Planned Parenthood for an emergency pill back in February of last year. And they did a pap smear on me.
Mm-hmm.
And the results found that I had some abnormal cells.
Mm-hmm.
They called me back in and did a colposcopy.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they found moderately cancerous cells.
Okay.
During the meeting, when they told me about the moderately cancerous cells, they told me that sometimes the tests get switched or done wrong or something like that. But they didn't tell me about any of the genital warts connections that I think I heard you guys were talking about a couple weeks ago.
That's not important anymore. You have the cancer. It's not important.
Well, I wanted to know, is the results reliable from...
Yes.
Planned Parenthood.
If you want to get it repeated, very reasonable. But they're probably reliable. Colposcopic specimen, probably good.
Okay.
Did they tell you to have a conization procedure or a loop or something? Leap?
They told me I should go back before 3 months was up after the colposcopy to get another pap smear and then maybe a biopsy.
All right, so they saw moderately dysplastic cells. They didn't see cancer cells.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're seeing things that could become cancer that are associated with warts.
Yeah.
That does need to be followed, that can be easily cured, but you need to follow up very carefully and diligently, okay?
Okay, but see, soon after they told me that, I started finding, like, little hard lumps, but they didn't tell me about the genital warts.
Well, you should call them and talk to them about it. You probably have that also.
Okay. So,
and you're probably herpes and crabs, too. You got to throw out that vagina.
No, see, I couldn't have crabs. I'm shaved.
Ooh.
Oh. You could still get them, by the way.
Hold on.
For the record.
I just pictured that.
Oh.
Okay.
That's a whole other...
I don't go for that, by the way.
Really?
I don't trust a guy who does.
The, like, the clean shave?
Yeah. It's a little...
You don't trust a guy that does? Isn't that like a huge guy fantasy?
It's a little prepubescent for me.
Yeah.
So it's like, it sends a kind of weird message, I think, to the brain. And
to the brain?
Well,
to the eye socket?
No, I mean, just think about this sort of overall message of the clean shaven crotch for a woman.
It's not an adult.
Right.
Yeah, right. Right. It's like, hey, that 9-year-old's got huge cans. You know what I'm saying? It's not right. I'm saying I don't endorse it.
That's good,
I don't like it.
I think you're standing in small company.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'm saying. I think a lot of guys like a lot of modification down there.
Uh-huh.
But then when it gets to just a pure clean shaven, that's when a lot of guys drop off.
Over the line.
You think?
Yeah.
On a regular basis, I would imagine, but I think most people are like, ooh, what would that be like?
Yeah, there may be the curiosity seekers amongst the male population just wants to give it a spin. Coco?
Yep.
You're 24.
Yes.
You're on with Diane Farr, who we both count as friends. Is that how you say it, Drew?
Yes.
You count Diane as a friend?
Absolutely.
Hello.
I count amongst our friends.
She said you were barely an acquaintance when I told her that.
Yes, because I'm so likely to confide in Adam all my deepest secrets about you, Drew.
And what's scary is the two of you are ganging up on me, which is a really...
No, we're not.
All right, go ahead there, Coco.
Okay. Well, I've been seeing this guy for about a year. He's 25 years older than I am. And I don't know, as of late, I mean, we started out, we had a really, really great sex life. And as of late, like I'd say in the last month, it seems like his interest in me has just really diminished. And, you know, I really take it personally.
Now, how long have you been with him? I'm sorry.
How long? Excuse me?
How long have you been with him?
A year.
And what has it slowed down to?
I mean, okay, sorry.
From what to what?
Twice a night. And now it's down to, like, once every couple weeks.
Ooh.
Drew, being a passionate man, sees this as a red flag.
Oh, I'm insulted.
Yeah.
Drew. Chagrined.
Drew could not even imagine this in some sort of make-believe universe. He couldn't believe ruled by an impotent king. He could not imagine this.
But after
I
can. Do you think a guy, no doubt. Yeah. Do you think a guy could get into his rhythm after a year? Or do you think something's going on?
Do you mean he could?
No, I don't know. I really, truly feel that he is just losing.
Has he slowly tapered off to once every 2 weeks, or did this just happen the last couple months?
No, it was rather sudden.
Wow.
And he tells me, he's just like, no, you know, it's gradually diminished. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you know, it started out twice a night, then it was once a night.
How old
he's
is he?
50.
And is he on any medication?
No.
How old? Sure?
Wait a minute, how old?
50, 50, 50.
Oh, 50.
He's 25 years older, yeah.
Yeesh.
All right, well, hold on, we got to talk about her. I got this thing, this idea with sex, and as I've stated, Drew is a passionate man, so he doesn't understand this. But isn't everything in life this way? Which is, when you get going with, like, sugar, you get going with sugar. And when you get off sugar, you're kind of off
that,
it.
That is true.
It's sort of game on and game off with so many things in life.
True.
And with sex, sometimes it can be that way, too. Mm-hmm. That when it's sort of, once, I don't know for what reason, it gets sort of game off, then magically you can go 2 or 3 weeks without it, and it doesn't seem as imperative.
Even a young male would have that kind of an experience, but older men, there's other biological changes, they can make that much more pronounced.
Yes, but it would also be fair to say that if they're having almost no sex, there's a rather large possibility he's having sex elsewhere, or that
no
maybe
15?
The interest rate is dropping off. The conversation line after a year with a 25 year difference. I would imagine the conversation line may be dropping off as well.
Well, mm-hmm. I disagree with the part about the cheating, because guys who cheat...
Double down.
Yeah, they're usually just flat out horny, and they're in the mood when they get home.
And they're going to show extra performance.
And they don't want to show... Yeah. Yeah, they don't want to show any change.
Yeah, the statistics bear this out, that guys... when they cheat, actually get extra nice to their partner. Start bringing them things.
All right, so then could it be lack of interest, that the interest is waning?
Could be, but it could also be that he's a 50-year-old guy and he's, you know, out of his rhythm a little bit. Hey, Coco?
Yeah.
Diane's mad at her dad about similar kinds of things.
Drew! All right, first of all, God forbid my parents are listening to Loveline, period. But if they were, Dad, that was a reference to the History Channel, and you'll know what I mean. It's nothing to do with your virility. I cannot believe I used my father's virility.
Guys end up sitting in front of the TV and watching the Discovery Channel.
I see.
I said it was unfortunate that some men are having a midlife crisis in their early 50s and don't want to leave the living room.
Hey, Coco.
Sorry, Coco.
Well, why don't you just have a honest discussion with him?
You know, I've tried that. He tried to say to me, he said, well, you know, I'm 50 and, you know, my life is not all about sex. I'm not 20 years old and I'm not just this horn dog running around. There are things in life to me that are more important than sex. And I'm like, you know, and I understand that. Sometimes, you know, you have to get sleep or whatever the reason might be that, you know, you aren't in the mood. But at the same time, you know, I'm 24 and I have needs as well.
Oof.
And you need to recognize that, you know.
Right.
You know, there needs to be some kind of compromise.
Wow.
You know?
He's more mature than this old geezer is. Well, what'd he say to that?
It worked for about a day, and then he was, like, really affectionate. By that point, I wasn't even interested because I was like, okay, well, now you're giving me, like, mercy sex.
Oh, look, do you want mercy sex from Burl Ives, or do you just want to, you know, find a nice 28-year-old dude?
That's what I'm kind of getting to the point, but I really do love this guy, you know.
Yeah, but look at it this way.
And that's why I wouldn't marry him, because that's what we were saying earlier.
You marry him, and he's going to be dead before you're 30.
Well, not only that, when he told me this, and he said, well, here's the thing, you know, in 10 years, I'm going to be 60. In 10 years, you're going to be, like, at the peak of your sexual prime.
He's correct.
And
right.
There's no way I will be able to keep up with you. And if you were to go out on me, it would break my heart. And, you know, and when he gave me that argument, I couldn't say anything. I was just kind of like, yeah, okay, you're probably right.
Well, tell him you'll put a bullet in his head on his 59th birthday. Oh, who cares? All right, I don't care. She's dating a 50-year-old guy. She's trying to work around it. There's certain inherent problems. You know, I mean, this is like someone who's calling who insists on driving like a classic Model T to work every day and is complaining that it rains and it's hard to drive. It's like, go get yourself a Hyundai and quit complaining. She got to get rid of this guy. He's too old. But, Drew, why the puss? This is wrong.
I have no puss. It's 24. Just, I don't know what else we can do with this. That's a problem.
Okay, let me say this, too. I know we got to go to break. But, you know, Anderson, you say that every night. Nothing ever happens. So, well, let's just keep talking. Diane Farr is our guest tonight, by the way. From The Job, ABC, Wednesday nights at 9:30. Critics are in love with this show, Drew. It's their darling.
We'll be right back.
Let me just say this. What a guy does for the first few months is...
nothing. Don't even pay attention to it.
Don't pay any attention.
Yeah.
Because guys have their sort of sexual metronome. Some guys, if you're like Drew, it's tick, 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 tick. It sounds like a card in the spokes of a Schwinn that's been launched out of a rocket.
That's right. If you're Adam, it's tick.
Then you hear some snoring.
Oh, my The
pages of the calendar blow by. The
seasons turning, leaves falling from the trees, the sped up shadow of the sun going over the hills.
Right. Wow, it's going.
Men growing beard, canyons being turning, you know, rivers turning into canyons.
Tick.
Right. That's true. I'm a little bit slower, but you wouldn't know it the first few months.
Were looking to impress.
If you got either one of us, we would seem the same in the first couple of months.
Right.
And then I would slide into my metronome.
your stupor.
Is it broken? No, it's going to move back. Tick. And Drew would slide into his, which is probably about the same as it was. So you can't judge based on the first month or so.
And I don't think that's just sexual either. I think it's everything.
Absolutely true.
Yeah. Right. Okay. We'll take a break. The lovely Diane Farr is here tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, all, it's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Diane Farr is our guest tonight from The Job. That's the very funny show with Dennis Leary. It's on 9:30 on ABC Wednesday nights. She plays a tough New York City detective.
Plays by her own rules?
Yep.
I even remember that joke.
I'm guessing she does.
Jeez, we've been saying that many years.
Yeah, that's very old.
One day, like, he plays a Chicago cop who's a big fat pussy.
No, we have two of them on the show. The show's okay. Very self-deprecating.
Good, I'm glad you got there.
My number one characteristic is probably grouchy, more than anything. So.
Well, Diane is not only beautiful, but she's got spunk. She's brassy. That's what I like about her.
Oh, well, I thought you were going somewhere totally different when you used the word spunk. I was like, oh, God.
I could squeeze the spunk right out of her. Yeah.
The guy in there at the sound effects has way too much time on his hands because you have everything in there.
Yep, his hands is the operative word. Bitch. Wait a minute. Didn't we talk to Brant last night?
No, you didn't.
Oh, we talked to someone else named Brant.
I guess so.
Hold on a second.
No, it was Brant, wasn't it?
No, it was Brant.
Really? Remember that.
I remember, you know, you convert, what you do when you hear a name you don't know is you just convert it to the closest name that makes sense.
Round up.
But it was Brant. Okay. Two Brants in two nights. What's up there, Brant?
Not much, Adam. How's it going, Adam and Drew?
Good. And say hi to Diane Farr.
Hello, Diane.
Hi. I used to get really mad when people would say hi to them and not me on the show.
Well, hey, Adam, I just had something to say about them shaved vaginas, you know, you had comments about, you know?
Sure.
I don't like to swallow them hairs, you know?
Right. I know what you're saying.
You know, that's just not cool.
If there's a vagina, that would be different.
Right.
Oh, I love your show, though, man.
Oh, thank you.
I come on late at night, and, man, you guys laugh me to sleep. You guys talk about some crazy stuff on the show.
Thanks, Brant. Thanks for your input.
Yeah.
All right. That's a valid point, the, you know, inhaling the hair. But I should, I couldn't imagine oral sex in the 60s and 70s. Can you imagine?
I've seen some old issues of Playboy.
Yeah, man, it's like trying to use your tongue to fish a raisin out of some shag carpet.
You got Bush.
Could you imagine that? You don't even know where you are.
I don't know what women did in the warm cities, because how did you go to the beach?
Oh, yeah.
Before waxing.
Well, the cut was a little bit different on the bikinis. But, yeah, so you can still have the hair at the top, but at the business end. you know what I mean?
I'm following.
Yeah, okay. Good.
You're not going to participate.
James?
Yeah, hey.
You're 19. What's up?
Yeah, first of all, Adam, love lines, love the man show.
Great.
You're a god.
Thank you. Yes.
Drew, you're a passionate, passionate man.
Indeed.
Just from having sex regularly, I got a tear, like a cut, on my penis near the head.
You're gay. Are you uncircumcised?
No, I'm not. and it's like it's still on the shaft, but it's right near the head.
No, you're not uncircumcised.
No, he's not uncircumcised.
Okay.
So he is circumcised.
Yes, I am circumcised. Okay, and
but so Drew, that's your fault for asking the question that way.
How did I ask it?
I don't know. There's no good way to do it.
I should have said, are you circumcised?
Are you circumcised is the way you should say it, yeah.
Yes, I am circumcised.
Okay, good. Hold on. Now I have a clear picture of your penis. So what's up?
There's a rip, and it's just not healing?
Well, I guess it would if I would stop for like a week or so, but I don't know.
Man, just got to stay off it. I'm putting him on hold because he has a bad line.
How about wearing a condom?
Doesn't infect it?
No, because spermicide's on the outside. The condom will protect him a bit, unless he has some latex allergy.
Right, so you're saying it's an element of protection?
Yeah.
Like the wound is not going to
Be
opened up?
Right.
Okay, we'll go for that. Let's talk to Kelly. Kelly?
Yes.
You're 42. What's up?
Well, heck, I don't know. I kind of scripted this thing.
The question?
Well, yeah, look, ants can do it, rodents can do it, and primates can do it, but when I tell a doctor that I can do it, and it doesn't matter, several disciplines, they want to send me to a psychiatrist.
You're insane. What is it that you can do that the rodents do?
You blow yourself?
Doctor, what's ailing me?
No. You said all these kinds
of... Yes, I tell the doctor what's ailing me.
What?
I know, it sounds like Granny, right?
No, you didn't tell us what the problem is. You said all these animals do it.
Yes.
And when you do it, the doctor...
Diagnosis, self-treatment.
Animals diagnose?
Yes.
Ants do it, sure.
Sure, yeah. Sure. You know, you've heard of Amdrill, right?
Sure.
It took years and years to come up with a bait that ants would take and give to the queen because they could figure out what was killing them. And it's been proven that rodents and primates do the same thing.
Right.
If I say, look, when I'm around perfumes, I have mood swings, I get irritable, or what my grandmother generically called sweets. If I ingest sweets, I want to hurt people. And if I relate how my uncle would eat Twinkies and my cousins would go off in the corner when he started yelling and say, Daddy's been eating Twinkies. And my grandmother kept saying, hey, Kelly, quit eating sweets.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured out, hey, when I eat sweets, you know, months later at 18, when I eat sweets, I get the shakes and I feel weak. So I'm going to quit eating them for a while.
And then you stop being violent?
I stopped feeling like I wanted to hurt people and I stopped feeling the sensations in my arms.
Drew, keep him on the line. I'm calling in an air raid right now.
I related that to my grandmother.
Kelly, listen. Do you drink? Do you do drugs?
Yes.
What drugs are you doing?
Cocaine.
And how?
Occasionally, I've drank tonight.
Okay.
May I finish?
I'm waiting for you to start, Kelly.
Have you ever heard? Well,
you've been talking about ants.
Yeah, it all ties in doctor's opinion.
Right.
The doctor's opinion in the big book. We believe that alcoholism is a manifestation of an allergy.
Mm-hmm.
An allergist I had in Texas. There's a doctor.
Hold on a second. You know, when the broads go nuts, they just become strippers. You know what I mean? When the guys go crazy, they become killers. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that always makes me nervous. Mm-hmm. See, if she...
Well, first they become fathers.
Yeah, they become dads, and then they become killers. And if the ACLU has their way, then they can become fathers in prison, too, as long as they get married. That's what those wonderful people are hard at work on. But, Kelly...
Yes.
Let me ask you some questions, please.
Yes.
What are you diagnosed with?
I was diagnosed with multiple chemical sensitivities.
There's no such diagnosis.
Okay, I know.
All right.
I know.
What medications does somebody want you to be on?
Well, various steroid inhalers for cough, and asthma.
I'm talking more for the brain than the nose.
I've had various diagnoses for that, too.
Right, that's what I'm looking for.
Antidepressants.
Right, which, like, what stuff do they want you to be on?
Antidepressants.
Okay, and are you on those?
No, not currently.
Why not?
Side effects.
Well, yeah, but certainly none of them could trump being nuts. You know what I mean?
Or hurting other people.
As a side effect.
And you've made this diagnosis based on my little thyroid just now. We believe that alcoholism is a manifestation of an allergy.
There you go. Yes. Yes, and I'm always right. So here's the deal, Kelly, because we're running short on time.
Yes.
You're a decent guy. You're living in a time when they have treatments for a lot of things that you may have. Why not take advantage of those? Why not listen to the doctors, take your medications, don't hurt anybody, don't hurt yourself, and try to enjoy your life? Don't you think that's a good plan?
It sounds great.
Okay. Then that'll be it.
Oh, boy, Adam.
We believe that alcoholism is a manifestation of an allergy.
You know, it's weird. Psychological impairment is something that it's hard not to discriminate against.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Oh, I see what you mean, yeah.
It's like, on one hand, you realize the guy has an impairment, psychologically, just like some people have a shorter leg.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you're angry at him for not accepting it and doing something about it and possibly endangering people.
Then you also have the fact that there's a prejudice against it, and that he feels if he takes the medication, there's something wrong with him. Like, if someone was diabetic, would you judge them for taking insulin?
There is not that much.
I do, yes.
There is not that much stigma against it these days, but the part that's frustrating, the part that drives me crazy, even as a caretaker, is the total lack of insight. And I asked that. I said, why can't these people get it? I mean, why won't they begin? And
I'm saying that it's a self-prejudice thing, that they judge themselves so heavily, like, I don't need this, or I can survive without it, or I don't.
No, they literally can't see it.
But
it literally doesn't happen.
But there's your argument.
The problem is you're the problem. The doctor's the problem.
Right, and thus you get angry, but you realize that's why they have a mental impairment.
That's,
and that's the part that's hard to overcome. There's a catch-22.
Right.
Of course he doesn't think he has a problem. That's part of being insane.
He's Napoleon, and you need to just...
throw a butterfly net over him and drag him to the white padded place where people walk around playing with the yo-yos.
I would imagine they don't see themselves as depressed, because if the guy has been diagnosed as depressed and he's drinking and taking cocaine, which would be the worst downer ever at the end of the ride,
all he knows is that he was looking for solutions, and since everyone else is the problem, he can only
come to his own solutions,
and the solutions, of course, worse problems.
All right, we're going to take a break. Kelly, just listen to everybody, and not you, listen to everybody else. Pretend your brain is a car and you're a chick. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't go argue with the mechanics.
I know I'm mad at that somewhere.
But you know what I mean. You don't go in and start arguing with Pepe about what's going on under the hood. He tells you what's going on. You do what he tells you to do. You pay him and you drive home. Pretend you're Drew. No, or pretend you're my dad who looked under the hood of my Porsche, saw the spare tire in the front of the car, and asked if it was the engine.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes.
No. No.
Yes.
It cannot be.
Yes. Yes.
And how was that phrased? Like, oh, interesting engine here.
To be fair to...
Or was it, where's the engine?
To him, to be fair to my father, when he pointed at the spare tire, which, as everyone knows, except for engineer Anderson, that Porsches have the engines in the back of the car, so when you pop the hood, it's essentially like popping the trunk. It's like a Volkswagen Beetle, the old ones.
Yeah.
He figured, well, the engine has to be here, but I'm looking at something that doesn't look like an engine, but yet it must be here. So I'm going to point. If I'd put a toaster oven there, he would have pointed at it. If I'd put an inflatable pool toy, like a raft in there, he would have pointed. If there was a bowl of gazpacho there, he would have pointed at it and asked if it was the engine, because that's where it should have been. You understand? But still... Now it only makes him semi-retarded.
Mostly retarded, yeah.
Yeah, he went full-blown retard if he thought it was the engine. The sort of confusion with the question mark, is this the engine? I mean, it says BF Goodrich on the side of the goddamn thing. It's a tire. These are the Corollas, everybody. This is the stock I come from. We'll take a break.
No doubt.
We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Diane Farr is our guest tonight. Two, I've just learned. Seasons is the...
Oh, my
I didn't know we had anyone for two seasons. I guess I did
two seasons.
She two whole seasons. How many shows did you do? How many Loveline TV shows did you do?
165.
165.
Why do you
episodes,
know that number,
everybody?
Because it was 65 the first year, and 100 was our the next
that long
season.
Year. Yeah,
that
mm-hmm.
makes it pretty easy.
Hey, we do.
And everyone asks.
Close to 400.
Oh my God!
I think
you'd have to because you did. Two before me and one after me, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So what was that? We did five seasons?
Five seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap.
Wow. All right. Well, anyway, unlike Drew and myself, Diana's parlayed her Loveline success into a meaningful career, where we just took a back step into radio and are just sort of riding out our lives here.
Waiting to die, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, that's us. The Job is where you can find her on ABC Wednesday nights at 9:30. Her and Dennis Leary. And Dennis Leary got his start, in a sense, on MTV as well, doing all those image spots, I think they call them. Yeah. Very funny.
Unfortunately, with his boyfriend, Ted Demme.
Oh, was that his friend?
It's his best friend. Ted Demme directed all those spots.
Well, oh, he did.
Why is that unfortunate?
Ted Demme died.
He passed away Sunday.
Just recently. Of what? What was...
I believe he had a heart attack.
He was 40-something.
No, he was 38.
You were about to play basketball? I heard he drunk. That's not...
Congenitive father's heart.
Uh-oh.
There you go.
Drew, being the angel that he is, goes right to coke. Especially when the family's
no,
there.
No.
I was going to congenital heart.
My father died when he was there. Coke! Hit by coke! He was a pilot in Vietnam. Coke! He probably did a rail right before that MiG shot him down.
No, I was going, it was like Pete Maravich kind of thing. They were just playing basketball, got off the court, pow.
Mm, yeah. So sad.
Yeah. Well,
his boyfriend?
No, his buddy.
He's married with kids.
So,
he's close friend.
Unacceptable.
He's gay and he died of an OD of coke. Okay, so now we got the facts straight. Yeah, he was, he directed Blow, actually.
He did, Dennis and he produced it together. And he directed Beautiful Girls, and,
Right. Wow. And he was playing in that, horrible NBA Entertainment League that I dropped out of 2 weeks earlier.
Really?
Is that why that what he was doing when he died?
Yeah.
He was playing basketball.
He was playing where I was playing on Sundays in this NBA league. Oh, at his house?
No, it's
at the park. It's at the gym.
It's somebody else's house.
Mm-mm.
Well, wait a minute. I got a letter from the, a fax from the NBA Entertainment League today that said, you know, we lost one of our own, and Demme died, and everyone here's family, and blah, blah, blah. Although I got nothing but abuse from those people, but this is what they said. So, and he died Sunday playing basketball in Santa Monica, which is where the NBA League is. So I was assuming he died during one of the games that I would have been in had I not been disgruntled and quit the team. So it's very, very sad. All right, where are we now? How's Dennis taking all this?
Oh, he's having a real hard time.
Mm. Yeah,
I think they all are. You know, he has a 2-month-old baby.
Oh, my God.
A 5-year-old and a 2-month-old.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
You happy with the coke and the gay now, Drew? John?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
I had sex with my girlfriend a couple hours ago, and instead of having my orgasm, I urinated.
Yeah, we don't believe you.
Bogus.
Impossible. Hey, John. We'll see you in hell, buddy, all right?
All right, Ben.
All right, take care.
I just tell him his voice.
All right, but wait, what is that little thing called that's in the male penis that won't let the urine come down once you
have orgasm? There's a sphincter there. I don't know if it's going to must have anything. Let me get the anatomy book out.
No.
Look it up for Diane. Come on.
No. Brian?
Diane wants to know.
Brian?
Hello.
You want to know how to... I don't like your question, so hold on a second.
Let's go to break.
No, let's not. Let's not. Come on. Cynthia?
Anderson, he would, above all else, would not want to be on time to break or early. God forbid.
Cynthia?
Yes?
You're 14.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have a drug and alcohol problem?
Yes. I'm a first-time caller.
Right. You had sex at 12?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you find Jesus Christ?
No, and now see, you see?
There you go. No, that, no, we can get a quick fix here.
We got to talk to Cynthia after the break.
You know Jesus? Says he wears a house coat and sandals?
I'm Catholic.
Okay, good, good. Well, that's a good start. All right, and you want to know how to quit the drugs?
No, I just want to know how all this is going to affect me later in life.
Huh.
It's not really a problem. It's yeah. Cool.
It'll blow over.
You know, there was a time in the history of this country when somebody on a radio might have said something like that.
Really? Yeah.
You know? Think about
it's okay to drive after just a few drinks.
But it'd be like, dude, cool, rock and roll, dude. All right, you're 14. Right on. Yeah, there's little doors for you to listen to. Drop some more acid and just kick back.
All right. Should we take a little break?
Yeah, I want to talk to Cynthia after the break.
Diane Farr is our guest tonight from The Job. Wednesday nights, ABC, 9:30. We'll talk to Cynthia, 14-year-old drug addict, after that.
Hey Diane, doesn't this music remind you of Adam?
Oh yeah.
It's my theme song.
Yeah, because you took it off one of the porn tracks, right?
No. How dare you? It just captures my essence like a fine cologne would.
Or no, wait a minute. Or does this music remind you of Adam?
Wow, that's very close to your internal rhythm. And that sound at the end is kind of like that sound you make at home, right?
Oh, nice. It's the zipper coming down when I'm in a hurry.
You know that last...
No, it's in the sound I made.
Adam, have you ever been to Adam's house?
No.
You know
I, no, I saw it from the top of a hill once.
Yeah, yeah, okay. It's, you know, the living room. There's about 8 steps up out of the living room. There's a bathroom and a kitchen and stuff. He was skipping rope in that living room by that big window there. A little bit far for him to walk over to the bathroom, so he just peed in a bucket right there.
No!
Having him an ice bucket sitting there by the bucket. Peed him, and then forgot about it and left it.
No!
I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up. Diane, true.
Oh my goodness.
I was
and
just...
you made fun of your father for the tire.
Yeah.
You just won the white trash contest.
Yeah.
Wow.
Speaking of speaking of that and that song, I had one of those moments last night. I'm extremely lazy.
Really?
Yeah. Super,
no.
super lazy. And I had brought my big, fat, lovey, padded eye shade with me to the set of,
you know,
Son of the Beach.
Yes!
Yeah.
With the fur
you
around the
are
border.
The biggest anomaly.
Yeah, you know.
And no one listening knows what an anomaly is.
You know that the actor you hired is all business when he shows up with the eye shade?
I think, you know, I know what I'm getting you next time I actually get you a gift. It's going to be the eye shade with the fluffy border and the flippers that match.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I
now it's just the homeless slippers with the holes in the toes.
I had every intention in the world of sleeping in my trailer as long as I possibly could, because I had a very early call, and I've now become attached to this eye shade, and that I have difficulty sleeping without this big padded eye shade because it's like strapping a pillow to my face. I actually use it as a pillow. And when I was standing up in my bedroom at 1:45 in the morning last night, or actually about 2:15.
Didn't want to take it off to go to the John.
No.
So,
no.
Oh,
that ice bucket happened to be nearby.
No. I
just peed on the floor.
I peed in a conch. No, I realized that the...
It's like you just had a conch lying around?
I realized that the eye shade was in the trunk of the car, which is in the garage for 500 steps away.
Oh, no, forget it.
Forget it. No. I just had a miserable night's sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
This side, that I can empathize
too
with.
Lazy to head down to the car.
Well, yeah. That's going outside and stuff, too.
Yeah. Oh, it's still in the trunk. I can't forget that two nights in a row.
Oh, my goodness.
Diane Farr is our guest tonight. She's from The Job, which is back on. And this show is it gets amazing critical press. I mean, everyone loves this show, and it's Dennis Leary, who I think everyone can agree is a very funny guy.
Yeah, he is a very funny guy
and a solid actor as well. I don't know if people give him enough credit for that.
I don't think they do. I didn't. I mean, to tell you the truth, I went to do the screen test for it in New York, and I thought he was Dennis Miller. I didn't know the difference between two of them. Walked in like, oh, okay, you're that guy. And everyone kept saying, you know him. He's the smoking guy.
Right.
So you go in, and he did the test deals with all of us. We'd sit there and improv them. They did them on tape, and then they sent them to the network, which never happens. And you could get a vibe off him and see where it should go and this and that. He writes all the episodes with Peter Tolan. There is no writing staff. It's just him and Peter. They write all of them. And you sit there sometimes and I'm like, this guy is an amazing actor. He gets no credit. And then I found out he did a theater degree.
Oh, really?
Like, he's a thespian, so to speak, who was funny and did stand-up. You know, he's sort of got the gamut covered.
I think he's a good actor who acted like a comedian.
Right.
And, mm-hmm. and good actors can you know, it's essentially, it's like almost, I mean, he's obviously a funny guy.
Right.
But all that MTV, you know, those were dialogues sort of delivered by a character in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So he is a fine actor. And that's on Wednesday nights on ABC at 9:30. Okay, so let's get back to the phones and speak to Sarah. Weren't we going to speak to our young drug addict?
Cynthia, yeah.
She like she OD'd while we were on break?
Mm-hmm.
Sarah?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
Ooh.
You can't have an orgasm unless it's rough.
19. Listen to that voice. Hold on now.
Little girl.
No, really, I swear.
No, we believe you. It's a whole other thing that Drew will tell you about in a second.
So what's up? Do you have a boyfriend?
Yeah, I do. but ever since I've had, like, five sexual partners, and with each of them I couldn't achieve orgasm unless there was, like, some sort of, like physical abuse, I guess you would call it.
What do you think about that?
I'm sorry?
What do you think about that?
I think it's kind of strange. I mean, I've never met anybody else like with that kind of...
It's not uncommon, but where do you think that comes from in you?
I really don't know. I have no idea.
Do you have any feeling about it? Any shame or guilt or anything?
Well, yeah, like, I feel kind of like guilty about it afterwards. Like, I don't know why this happens.
Did anybody ever hit you when you were growing up?
Not like totally like beating me or anything, but like being reprimanded as a child though.
And when they hit you, do they hit you with an object?
No.
With their hand?
Just a hand.
Okay. Well, what often happens is that the arousal mechanisms, when they are sort of hyper-stimulated by something like abuse, like physical violence, the circuitry gets laid down basically on top of the arousal mechanisms associated with sexuality, such that when they turn on around the time of puberty, the two kind of go together. And it often makes people feel ashamed and guilty, and how could these things that were so unpleasant now be associated with arousal? But it's the brain chemistry. It's just how that works. They're mutual, they're simultaneous tracks about arousal that are set down there by that experience early in childhood.
Well, how much of this went on when you were growing up?
Not much. I mean, like, I wasn't beaten every day or anything. It was just like when I got, like, a bad report card or I did something stupid, you know. I was just...
Wait, can we...
Striking a child for a bad report card is way over the top. What would something stupid be that they would hit you for?
Well, like, if I mouthed off to my parents or...
Was this once a week kind of thing?
My mouthing off or getting hit for it?
Getting hit.
No, it was a lot like, I kind of would push them to their breaking point.
How often was it?
Maybe like once or twice a month, I guess.
All right, every other week.
Yeah.
That's pretty serious. It is. It's the fact. It is.
It might be serious now, but I don't know if it was serious.
Oh, I'm serious in terms of brain chemistry.
Oh.
Seriously in terms of what it does to the brain.
Well, I'm sure it's only a shot in the dark.
Put that goddamn thing on vibrate. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Wait, can I ask her something? I'm sure it's only a shot in the dark that there isn't some childhood reason for this, but you've been active since when?
Since I was 16.
And you're 19 now?
Yeah.
So 3 years. And do you know how to orgasm by yourself?
Yeah.
And does it have to be violent or dirty in your head?
Sometimes in my head, yeah,
But not always.
No.
Would it be fair to say that she's only been having sex for 3 years and this is the only avenue she's discovered to orgasm so far?
Yeah, that's part of it.
Well, here's what I think. It can be a combination of things. I mean, I think there's a lot of females, and this is important for me to think this way, that like a little rough trade. much more than who would admit or maybe have even discovered it. But I have found through extensive use of pornography and seeing the scenarios that go on there. Now, there's a lot of women that like a little hair tugging and a little, you know, listen, I'm in charge. I'm in charge kind of thing. There's many women who are into that. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're victimized when they were younger. But the question is how far do you go with it? Do you know what I mean? I mean, is he really smacking you around? Is he really being degrading? Or is it just some rough play?
Well, the boyfriend that I'm with now, I haven't told him about it. Like, it wasn't just triggered, like, with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's been with, like, all of my sexual partners, and I only had one that would actually, like, do this.
And then,
oh, shut up. Yeah. I'm so tired of no one answering my goddamn questions on this show. I just want to know how rough it was.
Rough enough.
Well, here's the answer I got. The boyfriend I got doesn't do it now, but the other one did. Okay, you've pinned it.
Nailed it.
Yes. What resolution?
Which I think means it's not really rough at all.
I'm guessing not. I'm a glutton for punishment, even worse than Sarah. Sarah?
Yeah.
Where would you draw the line? Would it not be acceptable for the guy to really give you a whack?
Or would that be good?
Well, it would be good.
So you would like it as rough as someone could dish it out?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's fairly serious.
Yeah, but you're not asking him to do this.
No, that's what I wanted to... my question was...
She's not doing anything.
The one guy was able to do it for her.
Yeah.
One guy did it as rough as this. The other guys couldn't make themselves be that rough.
Did the guy hit you, the other guy?
Yeah, like during sex, yeah.
He physically, I mean, just whacked you pretty good?
Yeah, most of the time.
Okay.
You guys,
I'll forget it. And there's no gratification talking to anybody on this show. Can you just, you're trying to get an answer to sort of build a case or paint a picture, and you just get nothing. Some of the time.
When are you going to learn? Yes.
I know. I'm so sorry. I keep talking to people, and I shouldn't. I don't know. Go to the shrink, Sarah. Kayla?
No, that won't help either.
Okay, well, just don't do nothing. Do nothing. But don't call anymore. Kayla?
Hi.
What's up?
Nothing. How are you?
Good.
Tell your parents that when they used to beat, because of them beating you, now she has to be beaten up during sex. That will be just...
That will help.
Dad, remember when you swatted me because I got the D in algebra? Well, now my boyfriend gives it to me. He beats my ass like a rented mule.
And I'm into anal sex.
Oh, I didn't mention that? Sorry, Dad. FYI, anal. Wait a minute. That's a TV series.
FYI anal?
Yes. Join the FYI anal team. It's a probe deep into the problems of the inner city. Yeah, kicking in doors.
Huh.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Wait a minute, you got a man's show's bit there.
No, no.
Totally.
No. Kayla, sorry.
It's okay.
You're 18, what's up?
Well, I've been having an issue with my boyfriend that has been bothering me.
It's gotta be called like the man from Uncle.
FYI.
Yeah, it's gotta all be a big eponym. The man from Uncle.
Right. All right. Keep going there, Kayla.
Okay. We've been dating. I'm 18 now. We've been dating ever since we were both 14.
Mm-hmm.
We've pretty much gone through high school together, and we started having sex when we were 14, and it was fine up until probably about a year ago. And now I just want to figure out if there's a way where I can maybe help him not ejaculate so fast.
Yeah. Well, keep your pants on.
Why was it okay before and not okay now?
I don't know.
She's tired of it after 4 years.
I know. I feel like an old married couple when we're only 18. Yeah.
Something, has anything changed in him, or is this the way it's always been?
I mean, we've grown up a lot. Of course, a lot of things have changed.
I'm just seeing this.
I'm going to take a leak. I can't take this.
And the bubble over her head consistently is, I'm done. I'm done. That's all I hear.
All right, but please let me just try to get to the bottom of this.
Why do you have to keep punishing yourself?
You called with a question about his premature ejaculation.
Yes.
You've been having sex for 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Has it changed, or has he always been this way?
Think about your answer.
It has changed.
When did it change?
A year ago.
And he became quicker a year ago?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was a victory.
Yes, it was. She felt the presence of the stink finger over the drop button.
I don't like beat around the bush, do you?
Okay, so, and how dramatically has this changed?
Not very dramatically. I mean, it wasn't a sudden change.
It was a gradual change a year ago, and he's gotten quicker and quicker.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes it's better than others.
All right, but did it go, was it ever 15 or 20 minutes?
Yes, it has been.
Okay.
All right. She screwed up now. I wanted to know how dramatic a change. She said not very dramatic, and then she said it was, you know.
15 minutes to 10 seconds.
No, she said 15, 20 minutes.
To 10 seconds now. It used to be 15 or 20 minutes. Now it's 10
seconds. That's a dramatic change.
That's right.
Sorry.
Over a gradual period of time, I think, is what she's trying to
say. All right, here's the deal.
She said what happened a year ago.
This is a relationship that's run its course. They've been together since they're 14. They're highly enmeshed. They really don't know that it's over yet. They can't imagine life without each other. She understands she's not really happy. Because it's supposed to be. At 14 to 18, and she's unhappy and doesn't know why and can't really separate far enough from this relationship to say, geez, I'm not really happy.
What do you think, Kayla? You think this thing's run its course?
I had to listen. I'm sorry.
Did you think the relationship has run its course?
Yeah, that does make sense.
Okay, well then that's it.
And to try to correct his orgasmic function, I don't think is really the issue.
Why fix a car you're going to sell?
Well, and maybe part of his performance
or junk, as it were.
But maybe part of his performance problem is he too is sort of done and just not really.
Yeah, he's not putting the effort in.
Yeah.
Or maybe he knows that she's done.
Or maybe this, whatever.
Did you give her the standard Adam Carolla advice that I've passed on to millions of young men out in bars since I met you?
Masturbate.
It's not you.
Yes, that he should let one out of the chamber.
Let one out. Let it loose. Release it from the chamber.
He's tried to do that before, and then he has a hard time getting erect again.
Okay, well, you guys have been together for too long. Break up. That's enough. You're not into him. That's fine.
I am.
Did you hear the way she answered that?
Yeah.
You're not. You even have your eye on another guy.
No.
Who is this guy?
Bullpen.
Somebody from work?
No.
Somebody from school? There's somebody floating around who you have you're thinking about, huh?
It's just him.
No, it isn't. You've thought about other guys. That's 4 years. You were a kid when you met him.
We've broken up for like 6 months between the 4 years.
Good. This time, see it through. All right. We say break up. I don't know. I don't know if we helped her, but I don't know what we can do with this guy and his penis.
Hmm.
But I don't think it's the guy in the penis. There were several other big Dr. Drew things that I noticed there. Little girl voice at 18, started having sex at 14, probably was clinging on to him just to get out of the house and get away from mom and dad who weren't paying attention at 14.
Agreed.
Yeah, but
afraid to leave him now, because now what is she going to do?
That's right.
If she was, and they did break up for 6 months, that's true, but if she was as chaotic as that, this wouldn't have made it 4 years.
It would have been 4 years of hell, all kinds of drama.
She would have had sex with a couple of his friends by now. Kayla?
Yes?
Have you had sex with any of his friends?
No.
Why did you break up for that 6 months?
Because we wanted to see what it would be like to be single and to experience things without each other.
Just, by the way, when you are really into somebody else,
that's not the way you think. No, it wasn't because of anybody else.
I think at that age that's appropriate.
Yeah, it is appropriate.
You wonder.
Absolutely, but it's also a sign that they're not as involved as they think they are.
How long ago was that?
It was over the summer.
Okay.
It's time.
All right, that's it. You got to have that first. You got to have that first breakup. Joey?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
I was going to ask,
I know it's possible to go from an A to a D, but how does that affect your how does it stretch? It actually stretches?
What did Minka tell us? Remember she was talking about her surgeon stretching
Minka,
her
Minka, the number one Asian big boob queen.
Who's number one?
Minka is.
Oh, my God.
And are you talking about getting implants, Joey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
How old are you?
I'm 18.
Did they have trouble going from A to D? Oh, well, we've talked to guys about that before. They don't like to go from in between. A. Yeah, they don't like going from A to D. They like going like from A to C. Mm-hmm.
The doctors?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that what you're aspiring to do? Go from an A to a D?
Yeah.
How come?
Because I like big boobs.
And you know, but here, do you want to use them for, you want to be a stripper or something?
No, just
want the D's.
Yeah.
You know that's a pretty big jump, and you know what, it doesn't,
or more like a, probably like a double C, not.
I don't think they have a double C.
No, they do.
They do have a double C, but
they do.
Never.
Whoa!
Never.
What is that?
Hold on a second. I know they got everything, but I swear to Christ, in my entire life, I've never heard the double C. Never. No one ever says double C. They only say double D.
Right.
But I'm sure it exists.
Or double A. People will say.
They have double A.
Double A means mm-hmm. extra small, though, right?
Double A. To me, that's.
Double A means you can't fill in a B cup yet. It's a nice thing.
It's just look. If how much space does there actually need to be between the letter A and B? You know what I mean? It's like, do we need another letter that's in between one and two? No, two covers it. Two is the next one.
Just create a new system or keep going to a higher number.
Yeah. What about a AAA?
All right. Can we help her for a minute? She can't get fake boobs.
Diane has some horror stories.
Listen, I want to ask you something.
Oh, that's right.
What do you think is going to happen if you get bigger boobs?
Joey?
It's because...
Like your clothes are going to fit better or boys are going to like you more?
No, more... Because everyone... The water bras, I don't know if you tried those. They work. They work. They make your boobs look bigger and I like how it looks.
But what's the problem with just wearing the bra?
Because... I want to wear low-cut stuff. I want to be perky. I want to be busty.
All right, here's the deal. If you go to school and get a really good job and make a lot of money, mm-hmm. you can buy amazing bras that will do anything.
How much?
First rule.
How much?
Amazing.
How much?
Go watch my series. We work together every day.
How?
Watch what my boobs are like. I got a bra in
Adam,
New Zealand.
I'm just saying
to
how
die
much.
For.
I'm saying how much.
Adam, oh, how much do they cost?
He wants to do something to his boobs.
How much do they cost? If you can spend anywhere from $50 to $150 on a good bra.
Really?
Bras, or are you talking about the inserts?
No, I'm not talking about the inserts. I don't think they work at all. What I'm really talking about is the self-confidence issue. Because somewhere along the line, you think you need this to look prettier or better. And really, you got to find something that you're good at and spend some time on that and spend some money on that. And you will get the confidence you want from the boobs.
Without the boobs.
Right.
Hey, Joey.
You don't need the boobs.
Joey?
Definitely not at 18.
Yes.
Because let me tell you some other things. You're never, ever going to go jogging, horseback riding, or bike riding again if you get those boobs. For one.
Yeah. Not that you do any of those things anyway. It's the last time you went horseback riding, Drew.
Today's Tuesday.
For doctors, you heard about the I heard about the breast pills.
Yeah, don't bother.
Do not work.
Yeah, don't bother.
Joey, you got that little girl voice. Everything okay?
Everything's good.
No, never molested.
Why is it the Joys of the World pronounce the breast B-E-W-B-S?
That's part of the little girl voice.
I know, and it's boobs.
What happened there, Joey? Anything? Where's Daddy? What did he do?
Daddy's at home.
Daddy at home.
Daddy was in the military.
Daddy shoot big guns?
Mm.
Did he ever do anything to you?
I would get in trouble for getting a B minus, a C.
What would he do?
He'd sometimes hit me, or he socked me one time.
Oof.
Okay.
Awful.
There's some issues surrounding Daddy, and now surrounding men.
Well, my sense of the Joeys, that when they want boobs, they want power. That's what they're looking for, control.
Right. Yeah.
And it's attention and self-esteem, I agree with you on that, but also they want some power.
All right.
So they feel powerless.
Joey?
Yes.
Can you get a little therapy and then get the boobs?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, can you please? You got some stuff going on. I know people listen to the show and they go, oh, you say that about everyone who calls. And you know what? You're right. But Joey, boy, I can hear stuff going on in her voice like mad. And we're all our spidey senses tingling in this room. And there's a lot of stuff you got trapped up in your head there, Joey,
yes.
that you should definitely look into before you go under the surgeon's knife.
But what do you mean therapy?
I mean, you need to talk to somebody.
Okay.
Therapist.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not physical therapy, not occupational therapy.
No, please look into the part.
Psychotherapy.
That part, that brain that you use to control a fork and a ballpoint pen also is used in other facets of life. And that's what you got to look into.
Mm-hmm.
All right there, Joey?
Okay.
I'm sorry about your dad.
You gotta take care.
All right.
You know what's fascinating about it? Because Joey's age is like, brain, I'm not gonna do airplane algebra. I don't need my brain for.
Right.
Who needs that?
It's not a muscle to exercise.
Who cares?
It's not gonna get bigger.
Are you sure you got a brain?
No, not tonight.
Take 20 minutes to whip up that thing. brain, I'm not gonna be a airplane. I'll toast
But it's in fact.
It's a good example of why you need a brain.
Absolutely.
Okay. Diane Farr, the lovely and talented Diane Farr, is our guest tonight. She's currently on The Job, which is on ABC, 9:30 on Wednesday nights. And we'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. The radio show, that is. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Diane Farr, by far our favorite of all the Loveline chicks. And she has moved on to bigger and better things, namely The Job. Wednesday nights, 9:30 on ABC with Dennis Leary. Okay, let's see if we can power through some calls and speak to Josh, who's 13. Josh?
Hey there.
Hey there.
Hey. Hey, first of all, I say Dr. Drew, you're the man.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, Dr. Drew, you're like the best.
God bless you.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Adam let this call through.
Thank God for Dr. Drew.
Let this call through. Like I knew he was going to give you a compliment somehow before I punched him up.
Okay. Well, there's this really hot girl in my class at school, and I get really nervous around her. And sometimes, like, if I have a boner in class, and she'll, like, you know, she'll say a joke or something, and I'll laugh really hard, I'll have an orgasm in my pants.
Is this impressive?
Wow.
That's a bonus.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think if
you could manage this one.
What?
What would happen?
Jesus Christ, I'd be down at the Laugh Factory right now, just flooding the joint. Yeah. Hey, Josh.
What a skill.
Yeah.
So you have to have the boner first.
Yeah, it only happens, and it doesn't always happen. It's like sometimes. Yeah,
is it really about you tensing your abdominal muscles when you're laughing?
Yeah.
Does it feel like an orgasm, or do you notice?
It happens.
It's the real thing.
Yeah.
I have to
clean it out of my pants.
I'm asking. Oh, really? You don't just bathe in it all day? Interesting.
No.
What do you use? Tissue?
Yeah, They have
brown institutional paper towels they have.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, hey. I have to use that because that's the only thing I have.
Nice.
Hey, Josh?
Yeah?
What I'm asking is does it feel like you're having an orgasm?
It's a climax.
I believe you're having an orgasm, but does it feel good?
Yeah, but not like the same when I masturbate.
Right.
It's kind of just lesser.
Yeah.
Right.
Have you had sex yet with a woman?
No.
Well, you should enjoy this, because I think once you start having sex, this little trick will probably fall away and die.
Well, and the die part, yes, as he passes 25, 30, he's waiting to die.
He's going
to
enjoy the part where she gets a leg full of semen as she's pulling her pants down.
Yeah.
Hey,
that's good. That's not really a problem.
Let me help you off with those panties.
Well, only if she makes her laugh, for sure.
That's right. Yes, you ought to put some, documentary on Vietnam on or something. You know.
Or
put it on Dharma and Greg or something. So for sure there's no laughs.
Yeah.
All right there, Josh.
It's all okay. Right. It's all right. It's a talent. It's unusual, but it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. You may need to learn to sort of master your functioning when it comes time for real performance.
Yeah.
I feel bad for those girls.
You're going to have to figure this out, but you will. You will. Anyway, he's got the biology of the ninja, right? He should be able to work it in a positive direction for good.
No, but yeah, I don't know. He has the biology of nitroglycerin. I mean, the slightest agitation could set him off. He's very unstable in the pants.
Nitroglycerin humor.
There used to be
a lot of nitroglycerin.
You know what else you don't see anymore? Avalanche humor.
Yes.
Shh. Be quiet. Shh. What? What? Shh. You talk too loud, the avalanche will come. Mary had to be quiet.
People would show up in blocks of ice after years under an avalanche.
Yeah, usually in some comical pose.
Right.
When you're frozen to death, yeah. Is it usually like a sort of novel pose, like one hand on one hip and a finger pointing in the air?
It's like Pompeii. It's like lava falling. Right.
John?
Yeah.
You're 27. What's up?
Hey, first off, I'd like to say hello to both of you, Dr. Drew and Adam. I listen to you guys quite a lot. I like to watch The Man Show.
Thanks, John. Tickled pink that you called tonight, by the way.
Yeah. Hey, I got a couple of questions. The first one I called for was, in regards to female ejaculation. Is it possible for all women to have that?
No.
Or?
No. Only some do.
And only
if they practice.
Some women
really practice. They have to, like, do Kegels or something?
Not necessarily. Some women just do that.
Okay.
Turn your radio off.
It is off. Okay. I'm on my cell phone.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm on my way to work.
I don't know what percent, Diane, maybe you can weigh in on this, and maybe you don't know either, but to me, the percentage of women who have an actual orgasm where there's some product there is probably 10%?
Less than
10%.
Oh, you're talking about an actual ejaculation. I thought it was just asking about orgasm. No. I have no idea, but I imagine it's nominal, seeing as the women who can actually orgasm at all sans fluid is pretty small.
Good point. Mm. What's next, John?
Well, you know, I work shift work, and this is probably a question for Dr. Drew, and I change my shift once a week, and, you know, I've noticed that, like, in between shifts, you know, I'm, like, worn down.
Yeah, your sleep cycle's all messed up, right?
Yeah, that's not really good for me to do that, right?
Well, no, it's not really good for you, but it's not going to be immediately harmful.
But years down the road. I've been doing this for about 2 years now.
That's not a good idea. It's not a healthy activity. Is it going to have a specific harm? We don't know.
Well, what do you do? You do one of those jobs where you get to work daytimes for a month and then you go to the graveyard and everyone shifts around?
No, my schedule's really, really messed up. You start on a Wednesday and you work Wednesday through Tuesday on 4 to midnight. Then you're off Wednesday and Thursday, and then you start Friday day shift, 8 to 4. And you do that until Wednesday, then you're off Thursday and Friday, you come back Friday night and you do graveyards.
Well, okay. Maybe we can get together over the weekend, though, if you're busy.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because you get 4 days off in a row every three.
Right.
Every
but listen, John, I know it sounds tough and you're working hard, but imagine this for heartache. You're in the second story of your vintage Hollywood home. The Jag is down in the garage and your padded lovey eye shade is in the trunk. Okay. And because your house is so high up on the hill, there's too many steps between the trunk of the car and where you are, and your servant child has been let go for the evening. I mean, can you imagine that?
No, I can't.
Oh, well, cry me a river, buddy, with your swing shifts. Please. That was an attack. He attacked me.
He meant to do it.
I don't know. What are these employers thinking, by the way, when they're shifting everybody up this way?
You would think there'd be some sort of protection from a labor standpoint.
Well, I don't think, to me, something that has become a science recently. I don't think it used to be, it wouldn't be a bona fide labor dispute.
Well,
you know?
It might be a union thing, but it doesn't sound like a union job, so there's no union.
Well, employers have a certain responsibility.
They're all a lot of jobs do that, yeah. But you do, I would imagine, lose a fair amount of productivity
right.
with people mm-hmm. who are off their game.
Right.
So I don't know what can you tell him to do though. I mean, he's got to get on a schedule. There's no getting used to this.
Right.
So what should he do? It's not going to screw him up down the road, though.
Not necessarily.
All right, so look for a new gig or climb the ladder and get to the point where you're making the schedule. Where do you want to go here? Oh, Casey on line 5. Hey, yeah. Casey?
Yeah.
Hey, you're 30.
Hey, what's going on?
What is up?
Hey, epididymitis. Had a question about it. Do you you familiar with that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what can cause it? I was told I had it.
It can cause, nothing can cause it, no obvious cause. It can be caused by infection or bacteria getting into the urethra. It can cause by an STD. It can be caused by prostate infections or inflammation.
We haven't heard the epididymitis for a while.
Oh, wow. It's a pretty common thing, though.
Is that right?
Inflammation, infection of the little... Give me the book.
No. Of the prostate?
No, of the cap that sits on top of your testes. Your nut gets swollen and tender.
Mm.
It hurts when you pee and...
Really?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
They didn't tell you what you got it from?
No, actually they couldn't. The doctor that was, you know, doing a little exam and all that kind of stuff he said it could happen that infections could get caught in your bloodstream and somehow end up there.
Well, actually, it's not so much the bloodstream. I think diarrhea, anything that the lymphatics that drain out of that area can trigger this too. And sometimes I don't know what the heck does it. Okay. So he's talking about the guy doing the exam. This is what he's talking about.
That's why he said and all that stuff. I'm like, oh, that's got to be a rough exam.
putting the finger up there?
Mm-hmm.
No. He didn't do that.
No
he
finger?
Stuffed
his foot up there? What'd he do?
He just did the testicle exam. That's
well,
all.
Normally they check the prostate, too. So.
No, they didn't do that.
All right. Well, don't worry. That's coming.
Fullerton.
And one of the reasons I had a question about it is because, you know, on the cause of it or whatever was because I started mentioning, you know, I told my buddy, I was like, man, my nuts are killing me after I ejaculate or whatever. He goes, all right, well, he goes, what's it feel like? So I described it to him, and he told me that he had this, he went on this long run or whatever, you know, and actually didn't wear a jock strap, I guess. And he ended up having the same thing and was diagnosed with
epididymitis.
Well, yeah.
Probably didn't get it from the long run, not from his nuts knocking around. Typically that's thought of.
So is there anything one could do to avoid this
Well, right now, not get an STD, wear a condom, that kind of thing. But at this point, they actually advise that he wears like jockey underwear. It supports the testicles even when he sleeps, takes an anti-inflammatory, takes an antibiotic, doesn't hold his urine, evacuates the bladder frequently, don't delay ejaculation.
Oh, all these sorts done of and done.
Quick, don't delay.
I'm a huge fan of the testicular support, by the way.
Well, it's
never been a boxer short man.
This is all prostate hygiene. Hygiene.
What is it with the boxer shorts, by the way, where it's to me you're wearing shorts under your pants. I mean, they're shorts. I know this sounds ridiculous, and a lot of guys do this, but to me, the boxers, are you scared you're going to get ass on your pants? Couldn't you just stuff a napkin down your ass? I mean, why wear the undershorts? Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
No, that's sort of where my brain goes with it, too.
And...
Well, now they sort of have the in-between, though.
The in-between is makes
midways
sense.
Are
yeah.
great.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because they're attractive like this boxer sort of are.
But they fit
but
better.
They
don't ride up anywhere.
The same.
The boxer shorts, they ball up and go right up the ass. That's a number one. The legs are long on them, so sometimes a leg will ride up, another one's coming down, and inevitably the... fly opens up. If you just stand around in boxer shorts, the fly just gapes open and your penis hangs
but
out.
The hard part is you're walking, that happens, and the penis now rubbing against the pants.
Oh my God, because now it's trapped outside, right?
Yes, and when your penis comes out of that fly, it needs to be corrected immediately, even if you're in front of the queen. You must. You do this motion where you grab the pants and lean back.
You're wearing the briefs. The correction is complete. you do that in boxers, and it just goes right back out again.
Yes.
Immediately.
And zero support. Your penis and testicles just sort of dangle in space.
And Adam's got this thing where his testes, the gravity has had a profound effect on his testes in the course of his life.
It's really taken its toll.
He's told you about it, or you've examined
him? I've had to examine his junk.
Wow.
I had to. He had warts, and I had to get it.
I had warts. That's why you paid me the $100.
Yes.
And believe me, getting $100, I bet Drew I didn't have warts.
Really?
He bet me I did, which made me think he had warts. But he said he would not, a visual inspection wouldn't be enough for him. And for anyone who knows Drew to know that he parted with $100. That is huge for him.
Really?
So he dumped, is it acetic acid?
Acetic acid, yeah.
On my penis.
No!
Yes, that's how you look for the little wart.
Oh, I'm thinking like
not the
like some sort of acid that's going to like eat away at the skin to see if there's a wart underneath.
No. I agreed to that.
And we had a big magnifying glass with a Woods light, a big black light.
Oh, my goodness.
Magnifying glass so I could find his penis. And then we examined it.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
And what the testes did get in the way, they were hanging quite
really?
Impressive. Yeah.
Squeaky clean.
Yeah.
Squeaky clean.
He put a stunt penis in place.
Pristine. He had
a pristine stunt penis. Yes.
Wow. Suspicious.
There was. That was that moment.
All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. Diane Farr is here tonight from The Job. 9:30, Wednesday nights, ABC. And we'll be right back. Loveline, everybody. Phone, oh, forget about that phone. Diane Farr is our guest tonight. She was our favorite Loveline co-host there for 165 shows, we just learned.
Well, thank you.
And on those glory days on MTV, and now she's parlayed that into a good gig on ABC Wednesday nights on The Job, 9:30. All righty, and a pretty decent theatrical career too, doing some movies and writing books.
Oh, that's right.
Yep, it's really squashed us.
Oh, right. I listen to you all.
That's true. I know.
And the book too.
I'm big time.
It's doing really good. Good. It's in 5 languages in about 7 countries now.
Wow.
Yeah, like Taiwan bought the book. Like China, Japan, would almost make sense, or sort of like mod. But, you know, they call up like, oh, this country bought the book today. And it's like, whoa.
That's the girl code, by the way. And it's a really good name for a book. Mm-hmm. I didn't read it. I haven't, you know.
And I sent you one too, didn't I?
Yes.
I sent you both books.
My master excuse is I have not read our book. We wrote, so you know, how can I read anyone else's?
Our book was sitting around where I dressed this morning, and I was reading the back cover, and I realized I never read the back cover.
Oh, what?
Really?
What was on it?
A description of what's in the book.
Oh, wait, and Drew spent the first 8 chapters thanking his wife.
Well, thank God you thanked her also, didn't you, if I recall?
I guess I did, didn't I? Oh, listen, here's my whole thing with those books. You got to thank everybody. Like, our manager was pissed that we didn't thank him on there. Kiss my ass. Look, you give me my money back, and I'll thank you. Here's some money. Thanks. Screw you. This whole business is crazy with everyone's got to, it's like you need a ton of money and you need credits and you need thanks and you need fruit baskets. No, here's the deal. The reason you get someone a fruit basket and a mention is because they don't give them anything.
Right.
Like when a guy comes over and works on your house,
for
you
free.
Pay. Guy comes over and works on your house for free. You give him a 6-pack and a big thanks and a, hey, appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah.
And anything you need. And here's a couple of tickets to the K-Rock concert. Guy comes over and charges you a bunch of money. You don't give him a gift basket. Hollywood is, we're going to rape you for a whole bunch of money, and then our feelings will be hurt if you don't give us a thanks. Why? You thank me. Jesus Christ. All these producer credits. It's ridiculous. Jenny?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yes.
You've been on hold for 137 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow, is that longer than 2 hours?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Jesus Christ. We're out of time, baby. Now, what's up?
About, like, I want to say, like, 10, 11 years ago, I was sexually molested by a cousin of mine.
Okay.
And, Drew, you couldn't have spoken to her, like, 3 hours ago?
Are you ready to do something about this?
The thing is, I didn't even know until, I want to say, about a year ago is when I started having, like, all these memories of it.
All right. Well, you're ready now to deal with it.
I don't know. It's like, it never really bothered me before. Like, I just... You know, pushed it on the back of my mind. Like,
well, but that's not realistic. That's how you dealt with it, but now you're having some more realistic feelings about it, and they're unpleasant. And
yeah, maybe about the past month. Like,
yeah, it's time to get some help with this so you can sort this out once and for all. This is an opportunity.
How old were you?
I can't even remember. I know he was, like, in his teens, and he's, like, 9 years older than I am.
And did this happen more than once?
It happened, like, twice, but in the same day.
Oh. Well, still better than it going, you know, a lot of people we talk to, this happened over the course of years, you
or
know.
Or their father doing this.
Right. So here's the deal, Jenny. I know it's painful, but it's good that it's coming to the surface.
Yeah, some people can't ever even get to these feelings.
Right.
No, I don't want to, like, go on for the rest of my life knowing that I was sexually molested. You know, I mean, I was dealing with it fine when I didn't know about it, and now... It's like 10, 11 years. I'm getting, like, all these memories.
Okay, but you're missing our point. This is it did happen.
Yeah.
And now here's your chance to deal with it and put it away. But you have to get help with this. The unrealistic position was pretending it didn't happen.
Like, I wanted to, but then, like, the counselors at school, the first thing they do is, like, call the police, and they want to do, like, all these reports, and I didn't want it to get really big because I haven't really talked to him or seen him, actually, like, in 4 years.
Well,
and, you know,
okay, how about just dealing with it, not through the police, but, you know, with a therapist and talking to a counselor kind of thing.
I want to, but I don't want to tell my parents about it.
Well, then don't tell them who did it. Just talk about what your feelings are.
We didn't say to tell your parents.
Well, no, she's afraid the therapists are going to force her.
You're 18 years old. You can talk to somebody.
Yeah.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, baby. Take care.
Thank you.
And just do something on it.
Do they still have the Rain Foundation? Do you know?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Rain with Tori Amos.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's plenty of organizations that are out now that are all about helping these kinds of problems.
That number is 800-656-4673. 656-4673.
And they don't have to tell your parents, and it's free.
That's right.
And she never wrote that down, so you can give that number out when we come back. Well, that's it. 2 hours in the wink of a ferret's eye.
We should see Diane again in another 3 years.
She'll probably be too big for us.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah. We're just huge out there flying around. You'll probably see me in 3 weeks, and we'll all be at the unemployment line together. Hey! I miss you both very much after this evening. Mm-hmm. This was very fun.
After this evening, before this evening, should we think about
hey,
this?
I counted,
this evening, I didn't
counted
give
her
a damn.
As a friend, Drew. I don't know about you. The Job, it's Wednesday night at 9:30 on ABC. Go see what everyone's talking about and see what a fine, fine actress Diane Farr is. So we'll take a little extendo break. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
We believe that alcoholism is a manifestation of an allergy.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.